Welcome to the Examine Podcast, where we have real and raw conversations about porn and purity. Brought to you by XXXChurch.com. Here's your host, Brittany De La Mora.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Examine Real and Raw Conversations about Porn and Purity. My name is Brittany De La Mora, and today I'm so excited because I will be having a conversation with Pastor TJ, and I just believe that this conversation is so important because I know that there's many people, whether you know they're in the church or maybe they don't even go to church, and they have so many questions that they would want to sit down and ask a pastor, but maybe you're too ashamed to do so, maybe you're embarrassed, maybe you just don't have access to a pastor. And so today, I got your back. I'm gonna ask you all the questions that you wanna know about porn and purity as I sit down with Pastor TJ. So Pastor TJ, thanks so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me. And I just wanted to say it's an honor to be here, particularly for me, because I saw you before you got married to Richard, coming into the church, and saw I got to share a little bit of your process and story, and to see how God has redeemed you, your story, and how your story speaks healing to so many people's lives. It's just an honor for me to be here.
Thank you so much. I remember the first time I saw you, it was at the Young Adult Ministry. Richard, my husband, was leading it, and you were singing in worship. I loved that. I'm like, look at this. And
now my kids, they always try to keep me from singing. So one of my favorite verses is Psalms 30:12. It says, I will sing and not be silent.
Come on, you tell them. Sometimes you got to spiritually check.
You got to use the Bible
kids,
and be like, hey,
right?
No, God said I could sing.
I love that. So let's get right into it. Okay. What is purity?
Purity for me is this internal wholeness that I have, and it gives me a freedom. So there's not like compartments of my life. So if I had other words to describe it, I'd say genuineness. The Bible says that you have a pure heart, a clean conscience, and a genuine faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And purity comes from this place of, I don't have everything figured out, but I'm willing to have this conversation at the sake of vulnerability, transparency, and I have a clean conscience towards you. My thoughts are aligned with my feelings and a genuine faith. A genuine faith means I struggle with doubt.
Yeah.
And I don't always have a high faith, but sometimes I have a high doubt.
Yeah.
And I'm real about it.
I love that.
Yeah.
So a lot of people equate purity to like being something that is sexual, and we get a lot of like, you can't do this, you can't do that, like because you want to be a Christian, and you know, like you can't have sex before marriage, you can't do, you know, it's like all these things that we can't do, right?
Yeah.
So why is it that God wants us to abstain from sex until marriage? Like, what's the deal with that?
So I think for me personally, the starting point wouldn't be what I can and can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the whole problem with humanity in the beginning, is they thought if I do the right thing, then I'm right.
Yeah.
And if I do the wrong thing, then I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But God was like much more interested in this relationship, and this relationship of love that would so shape our lives that we would walk out and we'd be more conscious of this relationship with God.
Yeah.
Then rather this consciousness of, am I getting it right? Or am I doing it wrong?
Yeah.
Versus, am I in this loving relationship that is shaping my life to live in a way that expressed the love of God? My starting point is, how's my relationship with God? Because if I'm receiving the right love, then this fruit of purity comes out in my life.
Yeah. I had spoke to a friend recently who grew up in the church, and her parents are pastors, and she's just like, just so full of like love and so full of light. And she waited to have sex until marriage. And I asked her, I'm like, what is it that's different about you? Because sometimes you see people who they grew up with, you know, maybe these like religious laws, and they turn 18, kind of like I did. I didn't grow up in church, but like when I was 18, I was like wilding out, like I'm free. Yeah. I could do whatever I want now because I don't have these controlling parents in my life anymore, you know, trying to tell me everything I can and can't do. And so I went wild and I ended up in the adult film industry. And so I asked her like, What did your parents teach you about sex that made you want to wait? And she said something that was so beautiful. She said, my mom always taught me that sex is so beautiful that that it's meant to be for the marriage bedroom, and it's something that you should want to wait to give to your husband because, or you know, your wife, because of the fact that it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I really loved that because I never saw, growing up, I never saw sex as something that was like, a beautiful thing. It's just something that, like, when you're a teenager, you just want to do it. You just want to cross it off your list. Like, check, now I can tell all my friends that I've done this, you know? But just the fact that her parents taught her the beauty behind it, and because they taught her that beauty, like, she wanted to wait because she was excited to give that to only one person.
Yeah, for me, personally, and this might not be the purest motivation, but I'm very consequent oriented as well. Mm-hmm. So my first wife passing away in 2011, left me with two children.
Wow.
And for me personally, I had this belief that, you know, like when you get close to people or some women at church, you know, we'll hug each other and I'll walk away going somewhere, going on stage to speak or something, and I'll find makeup on my clothes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just had this intimate moment with this person.
Yeah.
Who, and that intimacy kind of followed me on another platform.
Wow.
And I realized, you know what, whatever you get intimate with right now, is going to have some impact in some way in your future. And my kids had already been through so much grief that I wasn't willing to invest in any relationship that could bring, had the possibility of bringing grief to my children.
I really like that. Yeah. It's like, it's the makeup that, it's the resemblance of like the stain.
I like
that.
Yeah.
So, okay, I want to go there for a minute. So you were married before, you waited to have sex until marriage with your first wife.
Yeah.
What were the challenges that maybe came about, being that you've already been there and now you're going to get married again, but you want to honor God with your body and you don't want to have sex and you want to wait until marriage? Like, what were some of the challenges you had being that you've already been there?
I think one of the greatest challenges is the biology, chemistry factor, the material factor. But there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes says that don't wake up love before it's time.
Yeah.
And I was so grief stricken that that I wasn't even really thinking along those lines. Mm-hmm. I was pretty shut down. Mm-hmm. But I remember one day my newborn baby, he wasn't sleeping, so eventually he went to sleep, and I start tippy-toeing up the stairs, and that scripture came to me, don't wake in love before it's time, because if you wake that baby up, it's real hard to put back to sleep.
Yeah.
So you got to understand, you got to understand yourself personally, your rhythms, you know, things like that. Yeah. So I realized, you know what, this is going to be a tricky navigating thing. Mm-hmm. You're going to have lots of boundaries, but just take it slowly, take it lightly.
I love that you mentioned boundaries, because I'm really big on boundaries. Yeah. My life before encountering God, like, I never had any boundaries. Just anything went. Anything. Yeah. I let people take advantage of me. I let people, you know, mistreat me. And boundaries are just so important. Yeah. And, you know, God, he created a boundary between the earth and the ocean, because if not, we'd all be drowning without boundaries.
Yeah.
And so what are some boundaries that people should set if they want to practice sexual purity?
I think you shouldn't give too much credit to your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm already well aware of my humanity. So I had maybe different boundaries than others. And even the perception, you know, some people, when you're in a leadership role, you have to kind of honor the perception that you're putting out as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think boundaries for me were, I think Christianity has a high view of the human.
Mm-hmm.
And with a high view of the human comes like a deep respect for people. The Bible says that you should appeal to the older woman as a mother, the younger as a sister, the younger men as brothers, and the older men as fathers. Don't talk harshly to an old man, but appeal to him as a father. So if you start with a high view of the human, what is man that you're mindful of me, God's view of the human, then you're going to start at a level of respect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think respect is a great boundary, that I respect humans more than seeing them as an object.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
What does that mean? That means I respect not only how this could hurt my future, but I'm also thinking about your future.
Right, right.
And not just going to gratify myself and put a mark on your life that won't be beneficial to you as well.
Right.
So practical boundaries is how I hug you.
Mm-hmm.
How I make you feel.
Yeah.
Inappropriate comments that I might make.
Right.
So I want you to feel like I'm your brother.
Yeah.
With the utmost respect for you.
I love what Jensen Franklin says, because he'll say, don't preheat the oven unless you're going to bake the cake, you know? And so many times I think that we don't set these practical boundaries, and, like, you know, we need to set practical boundaries in order to practice sexual purity. Like, if you know that it's too much for you to, you know, hold hands with your boyfriend, like, that may not be a boundary for one person, but for somebody else, all they could think about is sex when they're holding their girlfriend's hand, you know? If you are, you know, if you're laying down in bed with them and all you can think about, it's like, really, it's not just protecting the physical, like, boundary, like the physical act of sex, but also protecting your mind.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you're doing something that is causing you to only think about, like, being intimate with somebody that you want to wait for and you want to practice purity, then don't do it. Like, what about, like, staying the night at your boyfriend or girlfriend's house, or moving in before marriage? Like, what do you think of these types of boundaries? Like, are these boundaries we should be setting? Is that something that's acceptable?
Well, like, the culture accepts it. For me, it wouldn't work out, especially to the future that I'm committed to. But I would highly recommend not skipping the dating process and playing marriage. Because the thing about marriage is it's a covenant of commitment. And so you get into the practice of marriage without having the covenant of commitment.
Yes.
And so you play marriage with so many people that you don't really save or reserve those first moments for the person who really deserves it.
I agree with that, because before I became a Christian, I lived together with both of my ex-fiancés.
Yeah.
And obviously, we're not married today, you know? But what I love about the waiting factor is that though it wasn't easy, though it was hard, like, my husband and I, we never spent the night at each other's house. Like, we set very clear boundaries because, like, we both wanted to protect our testimony. Me, I wanted to show people that if an ex-porn star could practice purity, then you could practice purity too. Like, you have no excuses. But what I loved about that was that it was exciting. Like, the thrill of marriage. Like, when I lived together with my ex-fiancés, there was nothing exciting about it. Like, we just did it. Like, it was what it was. But in dating Richard, like, I was excited for our first sleepover. I was excited to get to stay in the bedroom with him. I was excited for our wedding night. Like, everything is so exciting. I didn't know what it was going to be like to live with him. Like, is he going to be as clean as he really portrays himself to be? Which he is.
He's
definitely very OCD. But I was, like, excited to see all of this stuff. And I love the boundaries that God wants us to set on purity, because not only does it protect you from, you know, You get protected from the STDs. You're protected from, you know, a deeper heartbreak. Like, you're just, there's so much protection that comes along with it, but there's so much excitement that comes in waiting.
You said something really powerful too, is you had a greater cause.
Yeah.
And if you're the highest standard, you'll always fall short. So like, when I was making a living for myself, that was one standard. When I had one kid, I needed to raise the standard.
Yes.
When I had two kids, I needed to raise standard. When I had three kids, every kid I had, I needed to raise the standard.
Yeah.
Now I'm not just working for me, I'm working for a higher standard. So I've always seen my future, the future of my kids, the calling that I have, and I really want to protect the calling and the testimony that I have. And I heard what you said. I really wanted to show people and tell people, like, God's grace is amazing, and it has empowered me to really walk this out. So I'm not just doing this for me. My relationship is not just for me.
Yeah.
It's for the glory of God, but it's also for the healing of others.
Yes,
and
exactly.
So my story was, I'm going to protect the legacy of my first wife.
Yeah.
I'm going to honor her and keep honoring her by the way I walk out my future. And I think if you have a greater cause than yourself and raise the standard, it would be easier to wait.
That's so good. Yeah. I love that. So Hebrews 13:4 says that the marriage bed is undefiled.
You know, the marriage bed is undefiled. And the way I originally interpret that was like, man, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But before that middle section in that scripture, it says we honor marriage. So our starting point was with a deep reverence of the covenant of marriage that we honor. We give so much weight to this relationship that we're entering.
Yeah.
The bed is undefiled. And then it says God will judge fornicators and adulterers. So we're starting with honor.
Yeah.
We're living in such a sacred, pure place.
Right.
So we're setting boundaries that nothing that is contaminated will come into an uncontaminated place.
So what is it that would contaminate it?
Well, he says, God will judge fornicators and adultery. So he's promoting an undefiled bed is between a husband and a wife.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. And here's what human flourishing looks like. And here's the beauty of intimacy and sacredness between this couple. So don't let any other person or any other thing come in that would defile that.
I love that.
Yeah.
And okay, so I want to ask some questions that I know a lot of people want to know.
Okay.
Is it okay for a married couple to bring toys into the bedroom?
Right, okay.
Is the bedroom still undefiled?
And so just to kind of reframe that, I was thinking about a scripture in Romans 14, and it wasn't talking about toys, but I almost see sex toys in here.
Okay.
So it's Romans 14, verse 19, and they're talking about like unclean food and clean food and sacred days and unsacred days. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification.
Mutual edification.
There you go. That's good. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of sex toys or food. All food is clean, but it is... But is it wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble? I'm going to skip to verse 22. So whatever you believe about these things, keep it between yourself and God.
Yeah.
Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves.
Right.
But whosoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin.
Yeah.
So I would just say, with whatever you're doing, first of all, whatever belief you have should come from a relationship where God's persuaded that area in your heart.
Yeah.
And whatever doesn't come from faith or God's persuasion is sin. So I would just encourage you in that intimate relationship to exercise faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exercise faith. And whatever is not born out of faith misses the mark. So there are personal, private matters.
Yeah.
That need to come from a personal relationship with God where he speaks to you on those matters.
So in other words, keep it between yourselves. And if that's
it.
Something that God is not convicting you of, then, you know, kind of have at it. That's what I take.
I didn't necessarily say that, but...
But come on, this is real conversation.
Real, okay. You tell me. You tell me.
Okay.
What's your opinion?
Well, I'm not an ordained pastor. But I just believe, personally, I hear what that scripture says, but I do think that if a husband and a wife want to spice up their intimacy with toys, that is between them two if they're both in agreement, right?
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that made the covenant at the altar. So regardless of what anybody else says or anybody else thinks, which is why they should keep it private because they don't need anybody's opinions on their sex life, right? So I believe that they could do what they will so long as they're not, you know, don't do anything that's going to be damaging to your spiritual or mental well-being. So I never encourage a married couple to watch porn because now you're opening up the door for insecurities.
Yeah.
You're opening up the door for just
addiction,
so many... Addiction. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Don't bring somebody else into the bedroom for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But between a husband and a wife, do what you please so long as you're both in 100% like in agreement, you know? So it shouldn't be the husband pressuring the wife or vice versa. You should both be in agreement. And if you're both happy with that, then enjoy your sex life. You're married.
That would be a great Christian book. Sex, Toys, and Christianity. Written by you.
You've given me an idea. You have given me an idea. I love that. Okay, so do you think that marriage could cure a lust problem?
I don't think marriage could cure a lust problem. Mm-hmm. I think marriage would expose whatever problem you were having before. And I think the values you have while you're single in marriage are going to be amplified.
Yes.
So if you're with multiple people while you're single and you really don't have a value for yourself or kind of a grips on what you think about sexuality, when you get married, that doesn't mean your values have changed.
Mm-hmm.
It just means it's going to be amplified who you are, or it's going to come out in different ways.
Yeah, I agree with that because marriage is really like a magnifying lens. It's not like a solution to a problem. And what I've recognized with people is that, you know, it's the most healthiest marriages are when two whole hearts come together, yeah, and then they are united in marriage. If you're, you know, still dealing with a lot of like you need a lot of healing, you're battling with lust, you know, you have addictions, you bring that into the marriage, like marriage doesn't change that. It doesn't heal your soul. Like only Jesus could do that.
Yeah, how did I know I could be faithful to my wife? Because I was faithful in my singleness to my values.
That's good. Yeah.
If you want to measure, I don't know if I'd be a faithful spouse or not.
Yeah.
Well, are you faithful to the values you have now?
Right, right.
And because you're going to have that same character when you get married.
So what do you think that a husband should do if his wife does not want to have sex with him?
That's really interesting, because that I could imagine that would be pretty traumatizing to a man, and that would be a lot of things you'd have to work through.
Yeah.
So I would definitely recommend, first of all, getting professional counseling.
Absolutely.
To kind of work through those underlying issues, yeah, of what's going on with that intimacy.
Yeah.
And I'd also think about intimacy beyond sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I would try to create an environment of intimacy and trust and, yeah, and love, and kind of work on some foundational things.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to create intimacy, why don't you start delivering on your end?
Yeah.
Some form of intimacy that she can be feel like she trusts you enough to come into closeness.
Yeah.
And start having intimate conversations that you normally wouldn't have.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe like with, especially if your wife is not wanting to be intimate, that there's a deeper issue, just yeah, as you're saying. And it's not about like, how can I get her into bed? But it's like, how can I create that unity with her once again? How can, you know, we create a marriage that is overflowing with love so much so that she wants to be with me, and it's not like a task or a chore for her.
Right.
Because sometimes it can become that. And especially because I think, you know, God wired men and women differently. So sometimes men's needs are a little bit different than a woman's needs. And like a woman needs you to fill her ear, to encourage her, yeah, to edify her. If you have children, help her around the house. Like these are ways that you can express your intimacy and your love for your wife, where she's going to look and go, I appreciate my husband. Like, I want to be with my husband because he's just so good to me.
That was the temptation of the woman. She was tempted through conversation.
Yeah.
Because there's an emotional attachment that's good, created through conversation.
Yes.
So instead of talking at her,
mm-hmm,
talk with her.
Mm-hmm.
Let her share her heart so she'll give you her heart.
So knowing what you know about that, because I love what you just said, that it was a conversation, right?
Yeah.
So how do you feel about a husband and a wife having friends of the opposite sex? Because oftentimes with a woman, it starts with a conversation.
Yeah.
And you win her ear, now you have her heart, and you've just been intimate through conversation,
yeah,
even if that wasn't your intention, but now you have this other woman that's drawn to you and attracted to you because you, maybe as the husband, were communicating, or you, yeah, as the wife, allowed yourself to be vulnerable enough to allow a man to speak into your ear that's not your husband.
Yeah. Practical boundaries would just be, you know, talking to my wife. I have a little rule of thumb that it's called turning the lights on. So any secrets in my heart, I turn those on.
Yeah.
Like
you got to share them with your wife.
What happens,
right,
is people live in secret.
Yeah.
They go through like a sinful process. They sin against themselves. They sin against other people. And then when they're exposed, they confess for healing.
Mm-hmm.
When I have the thought, I confess.
Oh, that's good.
Because healing starts at the point of confession.
So good.
And I want to confess to keep from the consequence. I don't want to confess because of the consequence.
Right.
So if I feel an attraction to somebody, I'll let my wife know.
Wow.
And I'll just be super honest and open and like, hey, I think my little biological, yeah, things are, you know.
Yeah.
And then obviously you're going to find other people attractive. There's, yeah, chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
You flow good with people. So just, yeah, being aware of kind of who gets that going, and,
yeah,
kind of know where you're at.
And I love it too, because you allow your wife to keep you accountable.
Exactly.
And that's so important, yeah, in a marriage, is that a husband and a wife, they keep each other accountable, because the moment that you make something a secret is the moment that you start running in a direction,
yeah,
that you should not be running in. Like the old saying says that you're only as sick as your secrets.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
so you expose the enemy when you can just be open and honest.
Lights on. Turn the lights,
yes,
on.
Yes, turn the lights on, people.
Nothing in darkness.
How does a parent have the sex talk with their child? And at what age do you feel that that's appropriate?
I feel like the age is getting younger and younger because the exposure is becoming more and more.
Yeah.
So once again, I think it's individually based on where your child is, but I wouldn't, I would stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
And I would be in constant dialogue. We're in constant dialogue with our sons and kind of measuring where they're at. And I'm promoting transparency. Like, I'm not going to shame him.
Yeah.
I want him to be honest with me.
Yeah.
I don't want to develop secrets in him. So I want him to know that he can talk to me about it. So I don't know if there's a particular age. I just know that it's getting younger and younger and that I wouldn't be in denial that, oh, my kid is like somehow isolated from this culture and my kid would never do that. No, all of our kids are being impacted.
Yes.
And we need to not just have an eventful conversation, but a process and a journey of conversations.
Yeah, absolutely.
One after the other, like a constant update, you know? It's not just the event. When are you going to have the sex talk?
Yeah,
like, we're
going to
have one sex talk with you.
Good,
you're good forever.
Yeah,
no, like, we're going to have to keep talking about this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's so important to keep from experience. So I'm almost a mom. I'm going to have a baby in a few weeks. But from experience, from the way that like I was raised, it's so important to have a relationship with your children because, you know, my mom would tell me things and we didn't grow up in a Christian home, didn't have Christian values. So she would say things like, you know, I'd rather you not have sex, but if you're going to, like, just tell me so that I could get you a condom. But then, you know, on the other end of that, there was no relationship between us. Like, you know, I'm so grateful to God that he's restored our relationship and she's one of my closest friends now. But back in those days, I mean, when I was growing up, she, you know, would yell at me and curse at me. And so here she is wanting me to be open and vulnerable and transparent with her, but I was deathly afraid of her.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, if I tell her this, you know, she's gonna, you know, who knows what's gonna happen to me? I'm afraid of my mom. And so I would just encourage all parents as well that, you know, when you think about these types of conversations, the sex talk, the porn talk, like think about these, but also like really examine yourself, examine your heart and say, you know what, I'm going to have these conversations with my child, but does my child even feel comfortable opening up to me?
Right.
You know, because if they don't feel comfortable opening up to you, then they're going to open up to their friends and they're going to get advice from their friends. And we all know their friends aren't going to give them good advice.
Right.
You know, my friends gave me advice and that led me nowhere good. So really having a relationship with your children, a friendship is so important that they know that they can trust you and count on
you. And not over idolizing your kids. For example, I think all of humanity has a perversion in them.
Yeah.
And I call perversion a version of pain trying to be expressed through intimacy. What pains and struggles my child's going through. For example, we can go back and forth with, is this right or is that wrong? You know, is it okay to make love and eat applesauce at the same time? And nothing's wrong with making love and eating applesauce at the same time. Go ahead and eat all the applesauce and make love at the same time. Do that. But then you have a conversation with that person and you realize that this person was 5 years old and their mother hit them in the head with an apple. And somehow this applesauce is now being expressed through them trying to find intimacy with this woman because they felt betrayed by the woman that they loved so much.
Right, right.
And so now it's not right or wrong about applesauce. It's, hey, how do you view women and how hurt were you by this woman in your life that has perverted the way you see intimacy?
Exactly. What should a parent do if they catch their child watching pornography?
I think that's where we have to be wise in confrontation. And so this is the way I do confrontation. So if I were to walk in the room, first of all, I'd shut off the computer, take the laptop, and I'd say, hey, we're gonna talk about this. We don't have to talk about it right now, but we're gonna talk about this. And I was thinking about going to get some Italian food or some tacos. Which one would you like to go get? So now I'm not shaming him, I'm empowering him.
Yeah.
I wanna go get tacos. Okay, be ready by 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take him out for tacos. He's scared to death. Like, what are we gonna do? And the first thing I'm gonna do in a confrontation is I'm going to affirm our relationship.
Yeah.
You're the best son I've ever had. You are a gift from God. No matter what you do in this life, you will never disqualify yourself from being loved by me. So I'm gonna take the time to affirm our relationship. The second thing I'm gonna do is let him know at some level, I can understand.
Yeah.
Like this is at some level perverted, but normal.
Yeah.
Like the hormones that you're feeling. Like I remember being your age, you know, that the old people say, right. I remember when I was your age.
Yeah.
You may not believe this, son. Yeah. It's been a while, but but just how to manage those emotions and the feelings and all these beautiful women. And you don't, I mean, you don't know what's what. So kind of trying to find some rapport or some basis. And then I'm going to confront him, but my confrontation is not going to be condemning. It's going to say, you know what? You have such a great future. And this is so much less than who you are. So I'm going to start affirming who he is and who he's going to be in the future and how this doesn't align to who he is.
Yeah.
So that would so be good. Kind of my way of doing it. I think the way I was brought up, it would probably be more shaming. Don't you do that. You're not going to do this and that in my house. And if I ever catch you again, you know, and
same thing
it just drives you into more secrecy and shame.
Exactly.
And more secrecy and shame develops more sin.
Yeah.
So when I can have an affirming relationship, I can have a vision for the future and someone can understand me, then I can heal.
Yeah. And that's the heart of our Father. His word says that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And I know that I didn't start seeking God in my life because he was like, you're a horrible person. Yeah. You're going to go to hell if you don't seek me. Yeah. Like, no, it was, I love you right where you are, but I love you so much. I'm not going to leave you there. Just have a relationship with me. And he literally just changed the desires of my heart as I knew that I could trust him, that I love God. And my heart's desire started to change. And so my actions changed because I knew that I had a loving Father. And so I just want you right now to look into this camera because there is somebody out there who is battling with lust and they are looking for hope and they are looking for help. And, you know, maybe they've just been too ashamed to ask for help. But I just want you to encourage that person who's in that place right now.
Yeah, I think of lust and all of, you know, those things as kind of this water, boiling water that's in this pan. And then a lot of times we put a lid on it, and the hotter it gets, it just boils over. So you never really fix the problem by putting a lid on it, but just opening up and being honest about it. And you would be surprised if you sit around with people and you'd find out that, hey, there's a lot of people that have a human issue just like you, and we're all trying to figure it out. And I want you to know the way to heal from it is not for you to just go fix it on your own, but we heal through community. We heal through understanding God's love for us. And the more you understand, the Bible says it's better to give than it is to receive. But I say that it's harder to receive than it is to give, because receiving makes you vulnerable. But if you would become vulnerable in this season, I believe you'll find healing that you've never experienced before. Open up, let somebody know. You're not abnormal. You're not weird. You're human. God's divine. He loves you, and you're going to make it.
So good. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I really appreciate you allowing me to sit down and ask you some difficult questions, but I know that you provided a lot of answers that people needed and wanted to hear, so thank you so much.
Come on. Loved it. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Examine Podcast. Head on over to XXXChurch.com for more information on all things porn and purity. And make sure to check out the hashtag #ExaminePodcast on social media to connect with Brittany and to continue having real and raw conversations about porn and purity.